Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are truly grateful that you, first of all, have given us your word, and that in your word we understand things that our brother Job did not. Thank you. Thank you that you have given to us really a full-orbed explanation of suffering as much as you want us to have. And because of that, we have great hope in the middle of suffering. I pray, Lord, that you would cause our hearts to be hearts that are compassionate and that really do suffer with those who suffer. And, Lord, that you would help us, please, not to have preconceived ideas that in some ways are right, but in other ways are not. So, Lord, you know the weakness of my own heart. You know my own sin. You know the way I grumble at suffering. You know all of the things that I do that would not qualify me to speak on this topic. I pray, Lord, that you would use this to your glory and not because of me. Lord, we most of all want to thank you that we have a Redeemer and that he lives. May we never, Father, grow tired of thinking of that, and that even if our eyes return to dust, we will with our eyes see him. And so we pray that everything we say now will be colored and marinated in the remembrance of the Redeemer, who has purchased us and who has declared that our lives are his and that he would work in us his goodwill. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you a little pop quiz right now. Oh, yeah, that's great. That's what we want. It's like we're at a baby shower. Let's play a game. We've been sitting in here for 2 hours. Let's have a pop quiz. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I just want you to answer these questions for yourself. True or false? No human being is righteous before God. True or false? God never perverts justice. True or false? God punishes every evildoer. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, because quite obviously I wouldn't give you a pop quiz unless I was trying to teach you something by it, and I don't want to be that way. Those are, for me, three propositions that I hold dear and would take into any counseling session. Aren't they for you? And yet, the book of Job seems to tell us something else. This was the counsel of Job's three friends. The three friends had three propositions that they were seeking to cram down the throat of Job. And the three propositions were, Job, no human being is righteous before God. Job, you are suffering, and God never perverts justice. Job, God punishes every evildoer. Now, let me just tell you that we're going to venture out into the deep end of the pool here. And I don't want to say to you that these things are not true. But what I want to say to you is, this is not the whole truth. God made an assessment of Job's friends. Do I need to go over the story of Job for anybody? I mean, you guys are all counselors, and you're track three people, so I know you've read the book of Job. First of all, let me just ask a question. How many of you use the book of Job in your counseling? Not so much. Some, but not so much. Are you very careful when you're using the book of Job to only be quoting certain people? Right? I mean, you know you're in good hands if you're quoting the last four chapters, you're okay. But the rest of the book of Job tends to be, doesn't it, sort of mysterious when it comes to how can we use it in counseling. I want to, first of all, say that it's one of the very best books in the Bible to teach counselors how to counsel. Because it portrays bad counseling. And then it portrays good counseling. And in the testimony of Elihu, which leads the way for God's own testimony of himself, so the chapters right before when God is speaking about himself, when we have Elihu's testimony, Elihu doesn't get rebuked. But Job's three friends, who held to those three propositions all through their counseling, this is what God says about them. My anger burns against you and against your two friends, speaking to Eliphaz. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. It's kind of an amazing thing, isn't it? I have to tell you, as I studied this and I was taking a course at seminary on the book of Job and really beginning to think about it, I thought, I wonder how many times in my counseling God would have said that about me. Job 4:17, one of Job's counselors, I think it's Eliphaz, says, can mortal man be right before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? Another one says, blessed is the one God reproves. 8:34, does God pervert justice? You see, we do believe that those things are true, and that is what they said, but God was angry with them because of their counsel. Job had an assessment of his friends as well. Job's bitter assessment of his friends, among other places, said, for the despairing man there should be kindness from his friends so that he does not forsake the fear of the Almighty. Sorry, comforters, are you all. Ow, huh? I just can't tell you how uncomfortable the whole book made me for quite a season. Oh, ow. That's a good thing, isn't it? You know, let's not be too hard on Job's friends. I mean, I'm going to be hard on him, but let's not be too hard on him. At least they were there, right? And they came from a far distance to be with him. So at least they were there. At least they had the desire to try to confront, nuthetically confront their friend. So at least they were there. And when they saw him, they had true compassion for him. It says in 2:12, when they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him. And they raised their voices and wept. Which makes me wonder, how many times have I actually wept at the trials that people are facing? They raised their voices and wept, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads towards heaven. And they saw that his suffering was very great. So at least they were there, right? Let me say one more thing, and then we're going to get into the body of what we're talking about. Let's not be too rough on Job's wife, shall we not? I mean, if you did not have scripture, and if you knew your husband was a righteous man, and he had lived righteously, and you had a certain lifestyle that you had come to know and love, and if you had 7 sons and 3 daughters and grandchildren, and it was all taken away from you, I dare say if all you said was, forget God and die, which is basically the Hebrew of what she said. Say goodbye to God, forget him, don't bless him. I think you would be doing pretty good about that minute, right? So let's, you know, she's our sister.